Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, listeners of Stalking Time for the Moon Boys. It's Tim Hinks here. I realise this sounds like I'm about to make some massive announcement, sort of probably a bit like David's passed away surrounded by his family type thing. Not going to do that at all. Just wanted to let you know that we recorded a bit of the podcast yesterday in the car, travelling somewhere, the two of us, and then having listened to it back, we think we're just going to put it out, so you're about to hear it. There is a slightly boring bit about the Pink Panther. You be the judge. But it passes quickly, unlike David, who is alive. So hope you enjoy what's about to follow. And there's a sort of rumbling car noise in the background. But otherwise, it's absolutely extraordinary quality. Enjoy.
Hello.
Hello, David.
This isn't necessarily the opening of the show.
Oh, I see.
I'm imagining this being dropped in. So I didn't say hello and welcome.
Oh, yeah, good point.
I don't imagine this to be the beginning of an episode. I mean, it could be, but now we don't know.
I think we can use it anyways, and it'll be like the episode where they said, there's one episode where they didn't do a proper intro. All our fans will pride
Stalking Time nerds.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be a question in a Stalking Time pub quiz.
Yeah.
So this episode is that episode, and we are on one of our road trips. We're coming into London. We've been away for the weekend.
Yeah, it's been lovely, hasn't it?
It's been absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
We've had a lovely time.
You're in Oxfordshire.
Yeah.
Beautiful place, lovely.
I think with some friends. Yeah, I mean, you've said that now because I think the listeners will be thinking, "Oh, have they finally come out?"
Yeah, no, exactly.
As a couple, and finally. I mean, we've been listening for a long time. It's obviously on the cards.
Yeah,
it's finally happened.
It's an episode which is famous.
Shall we send them flowers?
Right, this is an episode famous not just for not us beginning it properly, but also when we came really close to saying we are a couple.
Yeah,
but not. We haven't said that.
Well, I think you did it with saying we've been with a few friends.
Yeah.
In the country, it's been absolutely lovely. But we thought, on the way back, that we might do that thing that we sometimes do of on the road podcasting.
Yeah.
And I... Jesus, oh, really, no, Tim's nearly car. Died. That nearly really killed us. That was a bad idea.
Yeah, that was awful.
So I have a thing that I want to talk about, which is that my daughter, who, as we all know, mentioned many times in the podcast, a big fan of David Bowie, especially when she was younger, was clearing out some books the other day. And one of her books is Angie Bowie's memoir, the name of which I can't remember.
What it was called. What would you call it?
What would you call it?
Well, I'm just thinking, what might she have called it?
It's called something like...
Is it like...
I'm going to look it up.
Angie Bowie and then a subtitle.
Yeah.
A Life of Glitter or something.
Is it something... It's something like that. It's got a glam rock...
Platform Heels and Starry Eyes.
Backstage Passes.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
That's so generic.
It is
so
quite.
It's not really any Bowie reference at all, that, is it?
I don't know. I mean, what's come up is Backstage Passes and also David Bowie saying living with Angie is like living with a blowtorch. Anyway.
Okay. What? You hardly notice it because it's in a drawer. It's in the garage.
You've got a blowtorch in the garage. I've actually got one that I use for cooking.
Yeah, that's
like
what
one
I was
of those little
of,
ones that I know is in the kitchen somewhere. Yeah. I slightly worry about it. At the same time, another part
what
of me
have you
that
done
thinks.
Creme brulee?
Yeah, sometimes when I want to just brown off like a piece of meat, it looks a bit pallid.
Really?
Yeah, I've done that. My son does it quite a lot because he's a bit of a chef. I tell you what I have done, which is quite lazy. Sometimes I'm doing a fried egg and I think, the top's a bit still runny. I guess I could flip it or I could put a top on that would steam it. But I'll go and get the blowtorch and I will fry the top of the egg. Have you never done that?
I don't have a I once had a blowtorch for creme brulee and I think got rid of it.
Right.
I never thought about it doing like quite flamboyant things like blowtorching the top of an egg.
It's quite flamboyant.
I think of when I think of a blowtorch, particularly the ones you're talking about, the sort of kitchen ones, is And I remember at the time, it feels really tempting to sort of turn it towards your forehead and just blast your forehead.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
See, you know, like, what damage would that do? And, God, yeah, that would be painful.
Yeah, anyone listening, don't do that.
No, don't
but,
do that.
But on the same note,
if you are going to do it at home.
Yeah, I do it, or in a hospital. I do occasionally think about the fact that we have these blow torches, or we have quite a few of them, actually.
Yeah.
Well, no, we have one, but we have canisters. We have a number of canisters.
Okay, right.
Is like, if an intruder came into the house,
okay,
could I use this as a sort of gun, weapon thing? So, like, don't come any nearer. Should see my creme brulee. It was completely blackened. Right, so step back.
Yeah, okay, because you'd have to say to... Or the alternative, which is, come over here and say that, and then, like, no, come really close and say that. But what does it give you, about an inch, 2 inches?
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. You have to come really close.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, basically, you have to come, like... I mean, I said creme brulee. I could have said, you see my fried egg. It's amazingly blackened. Anyway, all of this is in lieu of... Is that the right word?
Yeah,
of the fact that my daughter sent me a text saying, I'm about to chuck out Angie Bowie's, which we now know, backstage passes.
Yeah.
But look at this. And it was a picture of Andy Warhol looking just like Andy Warhol does.
Yes, yeah.
And it said Andy Warhol, the caption written by Angie, said Andy Warhol, he always had this, you know, he always looked a bit like this. Doesn't his face look like a rice pudding?
Yeah. I mean,
there's a number of things to say there.
Yeah.
Number one, it looks nothing like a rice pudding.
Nothing like it, but that's the main thing to say.
Yeah.
Is what she's getting at is he looks pale.
Yeah, pale.
Which we all know.
Yeah.
So it's no revelation.
Yeah.
And she's thinking of, what, another pale thing.
Yeah. Now, one of the key things about it for me is that Angie Bowie spent a lot of time in Britain, but was, of course, American.
Yes.
Right? And I'm not sure that they have rice pudding in America. So I sort of wondered if, having stayed in London, in Beckenham, for a number of years, she had to eat quite a lot of dull 70s, you know, Vesta,
yes,
Ambrosia-style food.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, this is the most sort of, like, dull, mundane food ever. And that's essentially what she's trying to say about Andy Warhol's face, is that it's kind of blank and dull and whatever.
I think...
So she chose rice pudding.
Yeah. I think that's interesting. The American angle, there's another version of that, which could be that what she's trying to do is sort of basically... She's got that issue, right? Which is, if you're married to the pop star in basically the patriarchy, no one really likes you very much. So Angie, Yoko, she's part of that tradition.
Yes.
And so what she's trying to do is endear herself to the audience, and in a slightly misguided way, thinks what the Brits would love is like me saying, like, he's got a face like a rice pudding.
Yes.
And it's a sort of slight Cockney thing. And of course, the only...
It's Angie thinking, I'm going to be a barrow boy here, and the Brits are going to love me for that.
And of course, we've never... Like, the problem is, it's the root of all of it, his face doesn't look like a rice pudding.
No.
So it doesn't really work.
No, his face would have to be, firstly, much lumpier.
Yes.
Because that's almost the key thing with the rice pudding.
Yeah, yeah.
It's lumpy. Yeah. You could sort of see the grains of rice on it.
Yeah.
I mean, interestingly, one thing in which it is like rice pudding is rice pudding said to have skin on them. And Andy Warhol's face definitely had skin on it.
Yeah, skin. Yeah, yeah. But then everyone's face looks like a rice pudding.
And actually, the skin on a rice pudding is quite like human skin, right?
I think.
Well, it's sort of, a little bit. I mean, actually, when I was young, we did occasionally have rice puddings, and I never understood this, but other members of my family would say, oh, I really want the skin. And I kind of didn't know why that was,
because
that felt a bit horrible to me.
I've got to say, without turning it into a Spangles conversation, but we should be careful of that.
No, careful,
I felt one of the big debates, which I think Angie now would have nothing to say about it, because I think she doesn't really know what rice pudding... You know, I think, she, as I say, she was trying to impress and make people love her.
Yeah.
But I think the question for me is, I could never understand why people had it hot.
And
looking back to your family in suburban
Dollis Hill. Yeah.
Did you heat it up or did you have it cold?
We did heat it up, I think. I think she just got it out of a pot. Occasionally, I think my mum might put sultanas in it, which again takes it away from Andy Warhol.
Well, unless you did it as like two eyes, in which case it would start to look like Andy Warhol.
Yeah. One wonders as well whether or not Angie said this at any point during the recording or creation of Andy Warhol. The song,
Because
Andy Warhol looks a scream.
Yeah.
It's a very different line from Andy Warhol looks like a rice pudding.
No, and I also wonder whether, like, she offered that line up. David had a much more interesting William Burroughs-y, pictures on my wall.
Hanging on my wall.
Yeah.
Not like a rice pudding.
No,
in my cupboard. with the Vesta curry. That's not going to work.
Really bad when he heats up.
And who's going to have the skin?
And basically he said, Angie, I'm ever so sorry, but we're not going to use that line.
Yeah.
And she feels like it is a good line.
Yeah.
And eventually gets to use it.
In backstage
and
says, passes.
Yeah. And like, see, it's good. Yeah. So I think that it's there's a lot going on.
Well, you have, I think I interrupted you because you had a point about how, which is very true. It's a very interesting thing that Angie Bowie is in the kind of Yoko Ono tradition of people who love the artist or band essentially thinking, oh, they ruined it, that silly woman.
Yeah.
So how does that relate to the rice pudding?
Well, I think it's a way of, she's trying to ingratiate herself with an audience that has rejected her. And she wants to appeal to the British audience, and that's why she's using rice pudding, because she thinks that's a way of becoming like us.
Right, I see.
And she's misguided in that.
I see.
Because it's not how we talk. Yes. But I think rice
pudding... I mean, Yoko never did that. To be fair to Yoko, she never said, oh, the thing about George Martin is he looks like a sausage sandwich.
He looks like Welsh rarebit.
No, never. No, I've never heard her say anything like that.
No, but I may be wrong, but I think that's maybe what she was trying to do.
Yeah. So I stopped the recording there, just to listeners, because I thought, well, that's a good place to go out. But Tim's got something else to say.
Well, I'm actually going to say something completely different. See, we could have stopped, because I was going to think, what does his face look like? But actually, I don't think his face looks like anything that you know.
Have you been watching the documentary about him?
About Andy Warhol?
There's a new documentary. It's very, very good.
Okay, I watched
it. Really good.
I watched The Diaries.
No, that's the one.
It's not new at all.
It's not new, okay. The one about him and his relationship with the model.
Yeah. No, I was going to say something very different, which I think I've mentioned to you, which is about the Pink Panther.
Well, you mentioned it to me, yes.
But I don't think we talked about it on the podcast.
No. I mean, it was one of those things, I think you said it to me, we must talk about the Pink Panther.
Right.
And I thought, well, yeah.
Well, okay, what I'm going to say is... A slightly haunting thing from my childhood is the Pink Panther movies and the fact that they have nothing to do with the Pink Panther but have this cartoon of the Pink Panther at the beginning of them.
Yeah.
And it's that particular purple of the Pink Panther which feels very 70s. And if I remember rightly, he gets into a car.
The Panther or Peter Sellers?
The cartoon Pink Panther gets into like a racing car.
Right.
Drives off.
Right.
At
yes.
the beginning of those.
At the beginning of the cartoons.
The cartoons, yeah. Right. And then he appears in the Pink Panther films.
Yeah.
And I've. Well. For a while wondered.
He doesn't.
Well,
he appears at the start, yeah.
Yeah, right. And that seems to me like Trumpton and Chigley type thing. I understand the universe, like the Marvel universe. Yeah. Universe.
Can I just say, you said earlier on, let's not go too spangled.
No, that's true.
Now you've mentioned Trumpton and Chigley.
No, well, just in passing.
It'll be, Pew Barney McGrew and Cuthbert Dibble Grub any minute now.
And those Top of the Pops albums. Yeah. Didn't have the real artists. Yeah. What was that about? Yeah. No, I'm not going to do that. But I now know what happened, but do you know why?
I tell you, having said that about the Top of the Pops albums, I think we might possibly, if we do this as a drop-in, might be worth finding a Bowie song on one of the Top Pops albums.
Oh, that's so worth it.
And listening to how it's done.
Sure, because as I understand it, they were like session singers.
Yeah, they were session singers doing, but they must have done Starman.
Was it sanctioned by Top of the Pops?
That I don't know.
Because I don't
know. But they were called Top of the Pops, so I would have thought that was trademarked by, the BBC.
If it's amazing they couldn't get the real artist to do it, therefore. If it's something like that.
I don't think it was amazing, because I think it was probably just a matter of money, wasn't it? Just like, we want to do these albums really cheaply. It costs quite a lot to get Elton John in the studio.
But it's
obviously the songs existed. So I say Elton John in the studio, he'd already done it.
That's what I mean. Yeah, so why wouldn't Top of the Pops do... Because it feels like so pre-internet or something.
Yes, it's a very good question. Say we're not going to talk about it, we are now talking about it.
No, but let's take Rocket Man, you mentioned Elton John. Lovely song.
Yes.
And I note that Elton wasn't forever called a space alien, even though he probably did the ultimate.
Yeah, well, song about astronauts.
I would say.
Yeah.
Anyway, and you've got that. You can go and buy it at Jim Hill's sports shop in Billingshurst, where I grew up.
Yeah.
Get the singer. Instead of which, you buy an album with completely different people singing it. None of the instrumental, I mean, nothing.
Yeah, yeah. You get a terrible version of it by session singers and a shit kind of orchestra normally. With a sexy woman on the front cover, which seems to be the main selling point.
Yeah, but if you then went back...
Well, you know a bit more about sort of licensing and distribution and publishing than I do in general, and I can only imagine that to do a compilation album of the best hits of the time, which of course happens now. With now, that's what I call music.
Of course,
that's not session singers, right? I don't actually know, but I assume it isn't.
No, that's the real.
No, those are compilation albums of hits from that time.
Yeah.
Why is it cheaper? Because it must have been to do with money, to get a bunch of session musicians to reproduce Rocket Man than just to.
Well, no, it's definitely cheaper because you're not paying the artist for that. You're just paying the license.
Right, so that's what it is.
Yeah, it's definitely cheaper to do it. But the question is, if you ask someone who's got one of those back in 1976 and said, are you enjoying them? What would they say? Like,
a lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think they would say.
I prefer it to the original. No. Every single song on this is a bit better than the original.
No, but I think they would say it costs 99p.
Oh, I see. Yes,
it's for the whole album, and other, and it costs more than that to buy all the singles, or indeed to buy, you know, Captain Fantastic and the Brown Duck Cowboy or whatever Rocket Man is on.
Would you enjoy a plastic sausage that was half the price of an actual sausage?
Well, now you see, you've said something which is complicated. Because I am absolutely of the belief that cheap sausages are better than expensive
plastic
sausages.
Ones.
No, not plastic.
Yeah,
but
that's what that
I think that's quite a good analogy, because it's still Rocket Man. It's still recognisably Rocket Man, whereas a plastic sausage is not a sausage at all.
If it looks really like a sausage.
No, I think it's more
it's
more
like
a really cheap sausage as opposed to a really expensive. Yeah. And I really prefer cheap sausages.
To you.
Yeah, actually, Hugh Dennis once said a really correct thing. Which is, he said, a sausage, when you fry it, if it's a quality sausage, it will curl up at the ends because it'll have a lot of meat in it, and that's not what you want. You want it to be completely flat, which means it's got a lot of rusk in it, and I much prefer them.
Okay, so are we talking Richmond sausage?
Richmond. I really like...
What are Wool's like?
Yeah, well, but you know the posh sausages now, they'll say 99% organic, you know, proper chopped pork or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't want that. So in some senses, I might have preferred the Bontempi version of Rocket Man for the same reasons.
Yeah. So can I just tell you what the Pink Panther was?
Oh, yes. I forgot this was all about the Pink Panther.
I felt disturbed by it because I just didn't understand which one I was watching or why. But it turns out that in the first Pink Panther film, the Pink Panther, which you probably know is the diamond, and they just decided it'd be quite fun to have the Pink Panther animation in the title. Nothing more than that. Like, it would be fun. As a sort of reference, and they just kept doing it, even when the diamond.
So was the film or the TV first?
Film comes later.
Film comes after the TV.
Yeah.
Does it?
I'm pretty sure.
Because I think of the Pink Panther cartoon as a 70s thing.
Do you think?
But the first film is like 1964 or something.
Yeah, just to check. Do you think when you think of the Pink Panther, do you think of the Rinky Dink Panther?
That's
what the song is, isn't it?
Da 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 da. Is that the Rinky Dink?
No, it's the Pink Panther, the Rinky Dink Panther.
Right, that is how it goes.
That's the cartoon.
But what's da 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 da? That's the Pink Panther.
That is an approximation just of the Pink Panther theme tune.
But that's not the Rinky Dink Panther.
No. So the cartoon. I'm doing this all without Google.
Yeah.
So I think I'm right. So someone might write in.
Yeah.
But what I think is the Pink Panther cartoon was. It's the Pink Panther that really
yes.
that.
Yes.
And I can't remember what happened to the cartoon. Actually, now I think about it.
Yeah.
His world was.
What is your point about the Pink Panther?
That I've basically found my peace with it because I've worked out that there is no logic to it other than they just thought, well, why don't we put the Pink Panther cartoon character at the beginning of the movie because it's the same name.
Right.
And then they just stuck with it even though it's completely illogical.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. It's not some... Because it's like a slight fever dream for me looking back. I just couldn't work out which was which and why they did it. And it's slightly random.
Yeah. I'll tell you what we should do. I think I told Dolly not to throw out backstage passes. Okay. So I think we could tie this together if we do a proper recording and I'll bring backstage passes and then maybe other things.
We should definitely do that. By the way, when she's coming up with the title of the book, we know she's not a great lyricist because of the rice pudding face that got rejected on Hunky Dory.
Yeah.
But that as a name, a title of an autobiography, the more you think about it, is really not good enough.
No. The problem is it's a generic rock wife autobiography. Not even rock wife, just around rock
but
stars.
But it's not... It promises to be a play on words and isn't.
Yeah.
I feel like the fact that it's plural makes you think, well, they made it plural because then it chimes with nothing.
Yes. I mean, I think what you're saying here is that Angie Bowie's memoir pretty isn't very good. And that's, I think, not that surprising.
But when she's talking to her publisher and she can't think of a title, they say, well, let's just talk about the world you're in. And she says, you know, platform heels and Top of the Pops and, you know, I suppose backstage. But they go, wait, what?
Yeah.
We had lots of backstage pass. Obviously, I did. That's the time. It just doesn't feel...
Yeah. I mean, what would have been better... would have been if you went, you know, backstage passes and then ignore that and like high heels and his face was like a rice pudding. Wait a minute.
Whose was? Andy Warhol. Oh, right, sorry. Okay. Yeah, what about writing a book about Andy Warhol? Because it's such a good title. Yeah. I think we should go with it.
Yeah. Andy Warhol's face was like a rice pudding. I think it's quite a good title for a memoir.
Yeah.
Even if it's wrong,
yeah,
it's still quite a good title for a memoir.
And bear in mind, I don't know Andy Warhol or I met him. I think he might quite like that.
It's hard to know what Andy Warhol liked or didn't like.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
My sense of Andy Warhol is that he didn't really have likes. I mean, he was clearly so on the spectrum.
I mean, as we know, there's a terrible thing, which I saw in the museum in New York, but it's like a video of, but you can find it on YouTube, of Bowie meeting him.
Yes. Well, one thing he didn't like... in terms of his a man who's not clear didn't like he didn't like David Bowie
well
because Bowie turns up at the factory and he gets blanked basically
that's right and he hates the sock but I think there might have been a bit of a rapprochement right
in was the, there
I think early 70s when Mick Jagger and everyone they all seemed to be at the same party.
So Studio 54
yeah
they're know, all like, endlessly at Studio 54
yeah they're there all the time they're either there or
there's Bianca Jagger there's a man or a horse always
they're either there or they're at the party celebrating the end of Ziggy Stardust which seemed to go on for 10 years with so many pictures from that night and I think there was a bit of rapprochement let's just say there was a cooling and I sort of
rather
wonder,
like with the rice pudding
well I do wonder whether he sort of made his peace with Bowie a bit but they're never friends. And then suddenly, someone says, oh, by the way, Angie Bowie's got an autobiography. Okay, well, I've got to like David a bit, Angie. I'll have a read of it.
Yeah.
A rice pudding? What the fuck? I wonder if that ended the relationship.
Well, I'm going to put a slightly different thing to you, based on sort of the same joke, which is that David, it definitely was the case that, you know, he went to the factory in the early 70s, David did, and it wasn't the great meeting of minds that everyone wanted it to be. He sort of left awkwardly. Yeah. There was a sense of which doesn't Andy doesn't seem to like me.
Yeah,
but was there a tiny part of him that saw Andy and thought his face doesn't seem to be doing what I was hoping it was doing, which is smiling, friendly, beaming.
Right,
you know, it looks like I don't know what can I say. I don't know. It looks a bit like. Is it a rice pudding? and then left because he felt a bit downhearted about that. And if only that hadn't come into his mind, they could have met and collaborated much earlier.
Okay, so you think it went wrong?
Yeah,
it went way wrong before.
Well, I'm just wondering if his face does look like a rice pudding. Angie's right, and that's no one's fault.
Yeah,
at least not Andy Warhol's fault. It's not Ambrosia's fault. He just happens to, and it's a bit depressing. But, rice pudding, especially in the '70s, is a bit depressing.
Really depressing.
So David felt
it hadn't been reinvented by sort of posh British chefs.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
it's not a nice thing. You don't want to go towards it. Right.
But I'm actually
David, who, by the way, at the time we know was stick thin.
No, he's got a lot of milk in
it. Oh, you know what? That's ruined it. Yeah, he likes milk.
maybe it's the greatest compliment he can think of.
Well, maybe there's something we don't know. Maybe what we don't know about that meeting is that David saw him and thought, I want to lick his face. Because I survive on milk. and that looks like a sort of milky pudding over there.
Yeah, because that is the other way of thinking about it, is what she's saying is face like a milky pudding. And that would be, as you say, very attractive for David.
For David at the time. He was only, I think, having peppers and milk.
And actually, he did get very thin after that poor hole meeting over the years, and maybe that's what went wrong. Somehow.
Although, I personally think that if David had been having, you know, when he says, I'm only having milk and peppers,
yeah,
and cocaine, basically,
yeah,
if he'd said to Alan Yentop, a cracked actor,
yeah,
I'm only having rice pudding and peppers, he would have thought, well, he's probably going to be okay. You know, that's probably quite sustaining.
Yes, maybe it was too filling for David, and that's what... But I wonder, you know, obviously David and Mick Jagger hung out a lot back then.
Yeah.
And Mick did seem quite close to Andy Warhol. Andy Warhol designed the cover for Sticky Fingers, and they hung out together. And I wonder if at a certain point...
Also the cover of Some Girls, no?
Yeah, maybe that's true. Yes, I think that's true. And maybe at a certain point Andy said... I don't know what really Andy sounded like. Hey, Mick, what does he sound like?
Very, very New York. I'm doing him now. I can't believe I'm even trying. But like a very high, yeah. There's one brilliant answer. He's asked at one point on this documentary, like, your critics say that you're shallow and vapid and blah, blah, blah. What do you say to that? I say, well, I don't have anything to say because I think they're probably right.
Oh, nice. It's like, yeah. Well, so he might have said, hey, Mick, I know we're good friends and you're friends with David Bowie. Yeah. And then he said...
is that Mick Jagger?
Yeah.
Okay.
And can I just ask you a question? If you were had to compare my face to something, what would you compare it to?
Any type. Yeah, and Mick said...
Well, Mick knows what the trap is.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
How does Mick know that? He's read on Angie Bowers backstage glasses.
Because he's hanging out with David all the time.
I see.
And as we've said, Bowie almost certainly... Actually, he was the first to say his face looked like a milk pudding.
A milky pudding.
And Mick's like, I'm not falling for that chap because I want to be friends with Andy.
Yeah.
And so he would... But he doesn't want to say, oh, like a vase of flowers. He doesn't want to go over the top.
Yeah.
So he says, well, I don't know what he'd say, like some cheese, is it?
Well, that's a bit milky. If he wants to get away from milk, he wouldn't say that.
Okay.
If he's trying to suck up to Andy...
Yeah. Like egg?
Egg, possibly.
A scrambled egg.
But still very milky. I mean, if it was me and I knew about the milky pudding trap, I would say nothing to do with food. I'd get away from food overall.
Right.
And I would say looks like a cat or something.
Oh.
Something interesting and mysterious. Because almost any food is going to be slightly pathetic.
Yeah, I see.
You know what I mean? It looks like a roast chicken.
I get that it looks like a... What do you say?
I said roast chicken.
Yeah, I get the roast chicken thing. Okay, that's clever. Okay, where is you? But what if it was more like something you'd have for dessert? Mick's thinking, I'm too clever for this. I went to the LSE. I'm not falling for this.
Why is Andy trying to lead Mick Jagger into this trap?
Because I think what he thinks is, he's a bit paranoid. He thinks that's what they're all saying.
Right, and I need to hear it. I want to confirm.
They want him to do their album covers. But really, I know what they're doing. They're calling me a milky pudding face. He wants Mick to admit that,
right? But at the same time, he doesn't. Like I think you're right. It's a kind of, it's definitely happened. It's a kind of neurotic thing where he wants to hear it, but he doesn't.
Exactly.
Right. I think it might be happening, but it'd be great if Mick said, "What are you talking about? No one thinks you look like a milky pudding. You look like an interesting."
What if it was a tinned dessert? What would it be?
I think that would be unfair.
And Mick goes, peaches, peaches.
I think it's really unfair if Andy leads him so far.
Right.
Because by the time he's saying, what if it was a tinned dessert with like ambrosia on the front?
Yeah.
Mixed in a corner.
Yeah, no, that's true. No, he'd say, well, it makes it very hard, Andy. Because the obvious thing is what it doesn't look like, which is rice pudding, and it doesn't look like that, so I don't know what else it could be. Maybe that would be enough.
And then Andy says, okay.
Oh, you're a great friend.
Okay, then. Yeah. Don't. Yeah. I tell you who does think that, Angie Bowie, and I think David thinks it
David
too.
Thinks it. Yeah. Oh, does he? I never liked him. He ripped me off in Diamond Dogs. So,
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.